Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, everyone. Today we have Brad Carlson. He's going to share with us the most vital aspects of fit and healthy, but most of all, happy. He's learned we get to choose with what we desire and what we focus on. He found fit, but chose to dig deeper. What did it mean to be healthy and happy? Not just some of the time, but all of the time, regardless of circumstance or conditions. Welcome, Brad.
Jane, wow, what an intro. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm truly honored to be here today. Thank you.
Great to have you. So your journey started with fitness. Sometimes we grab onto one thing we know we can control that's going to make us feel better. And then you learned that wasn't the end. You wanted to figure out how to be healthy and happy as well. So should we start with fitness and how you decided that must become an important part of your life?
Yeah, that's like they say, start at the beginning. And for me, yeah, it did start with fitness, wanting to get fit, which I didn't even understand really what that meant 14 years ago. But I was your classic couch potato. I tell everybody I was 50 pounds overweight and just set out like anybody to lose the weight and didn't know anything about anything. I knew nothing about exercise, nothing about nutrition, healthy eating, lifestyle, mindset. I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't even know you could hire a coach or anything. I didn't even know if health coaches or whatnot existed 13, 14 years ago. It's kind of feel. But yeah, it started out with just wanting to lose weight and it just went from there.
So at that time, were you also emotionally a little bit wondering what was next and feeling a little bit emotionally down and that kind of thing?
Yeah, if I were to describe myself, I was a classic couch potato, very lethargic, zero energy, zero drive, zero motivation, very low self-esteem, low self-worth, overweight, no direction in life, no meaning, no purpose. I didn't know anything about anything. I was married at the time and had just gotten caught up in the rat race of life. Work, eat, sleep. That's all I did. That's what I thought you were supposed to do. I had no idea about being fit. And so I worked. I was blessed. I had a good job. I worked a lot and I would just come home and veg out in front of the TV and eat and sleep. And that was about it. That was my life for pretty much all of my 30s until I think 38. Yeah, starting around 38 and 39 when I had my epiphany and started to change and say, wait a second, this isn't working for me. And what I started to say is when I first started this journey, it was in 2009, I didn't know anything. So I had an exercise bike in my garage and I went on that for 3 weeks is all it lasted. I don't even know if I lost any weight in those 3 weeks, but my motivation lasted for about 3 weeks. And then it's like everybody, you fall off the horse again, and then you just keep getting on and trying and fall off, get on, try, fall off, get on. And then finally over the years, I was able to figure out how to make it last. And it's like effortless effort for me now, as I like to call it. And it's possible for everyone to get to this stage too. You just have to understand the steps and go through the steps.
But those first attempts we have these big, hopes.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't come quickly and it's a little bit harder than we'd hoped it, we give up again and then you end up back in the cycle. So how did you figure out that it had to be a long-term idea, this whole fitness thing?
It was two things that happened to me in my life. I call them my two miracles or epiphanies. And I can't say what led to these happening other than there was a higher power at work for me and watching out for me. But the first one happened, I was really struggling with the yo-yo cycle on again, off again. I was in my garage and I had purchased a home weight set at this time. And I was doing a particular bench press exercise and I got up and I put the bar back on the machine and I was just not motivated. And I just asked myself, literally, why am I doing this? And that's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I would say, and in that moment, I'll just say I discovered my why for doing this. And it became, if you train your mind. If I take care of my mind, body, and spirit, my mind, body, and spirit will take care of me. And that became the number one driving force, knowing your why. If you're familiar with Simon Sinek and his work, he says, always start with why. And that is so true. So to make this journey last, you have to have that higher meaning and purpose, that why. And so I was fortunate enough to get mine on that day. But I still struggled after that because I didn't have the second piece of the puzzle. And the second piece of the puzzle came for me about 2 years later. So when I first discovered my why in 2011. So 2009 to 2011 was just like horrible, on again, off again. And then 2011, I discovered my why, but I still struggled with trying to have this be a way of life, with adapting the lifestyle. And then in February of 2013, I had my second miracle, which is the second piece of the puzzle. And long story short, I was sitting on the couch and I was in the middle of a divorce and trying to get my dog to come over to me. And he would not, this is a man's best friend. He would not come over to me. And I'm like, come on, Lucky, come here, boy. I just wanted to pet him. And he just looked at me like I was a total loser. He turned around, went over to his bed in front of the fireplace and laid down. And I literally just put my head between my hands and bowed my head and started to cry. And it just hit me, fire, lightning bolt or something, that what we focus on, we become. And that was the second piece for anyone who wants to maintain this journey, is what are you focusing on? Because where the energy goes, the mind flows. And I learned in that moment that I had been focusing on everything that I did not want in life. I did not want to be 50 pounds overweight. Well, I was still 50 pounds overweight. I think I was about 30 at that. I did not want to be a couch potato. I was still a couch potato. I did not want to be an uptight, irritable, grumpy human being. Well, I was an uptight, grumpy, irritable human being. So in that moment, I switched my focus. Okay, this isn't working for me. What do I want in life? And what do I want to focus on? And one of the first things that came to me very shortly after is like, I want to be healthy. And then I began to focus on being healthy, and that became my whole vision. And that's when everything switched from, it's not necessarily about being fit or even losing weight, but it's just about this idea of being healthy. And then everything else became the byproduct. So I never, after that, tried to lose weight anymore. The weight just started to naturally come off because all my habits, everything I did, started to focus on this idea of being healthy. Because then I realized that second epiphany, that what we focus on, we become. And I began to focus on being healthy. And I think that's a lot of a mistake people make, is that they're focusing on the wrong thing, like I was in the beginning. They're focusing on the diet and the exercise and all that in order to be healthy, but it's actually the opposite. You focus on being healthy, and then the exercise, diet, healthy eating, all that will naturally fall into place, and the weight will just start to not only come off, but stay off. But you have to switch that mindset around. And so those are the first two that really led me to where I am today, discovering my why and understanding who I wanted to become, what I was focusing on. I call that the higher vision. So knowing your higher meaning and purpose is key to this journey. And then knowing who you want to become, that higher vision, is also key. When you have those two things, everything else starts to just line up naturally. But it took me 4 or 5 years to discover those two pieces right there.
It takes some time. Yeah. Sometimes. I love this, because even I try to tell people that if we get to the deepest cause of even physical disease, it always comes from stress or programming, where you're delving on the negative. And if you can erase that, then you'll naturally love yourself more and want to eat healthy, and you'll be happier. But you have to, it's like reverse of what most people attempt to do.
Yeah, and so the third piece would be then that I learned over the years is mindset. So you have to know that the higher vision, who you want to become, and you have to have the mindset to match that, that's in alignment with that. So if I say something like, I want to become this fit, happy, healthy person, and my mind goes, yeah, right, Brad, you're just full of it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Then this is, everybody skips over these first three steps. They don't understand their why. They don't have a higher vision for who they want to be. And then they don't do the mindset part. They go right to the diet and exercise. They go right to the doing part, because that's all they know and that's all they understand. And that is like way down the chain of doing things. So next, you got to get your mindset right. And so you've got to, I tell anyone, get out your journal, get out a pen and start writing. Okay. Start with a simple statement. I want to be fit, happy, healthy. I am being fit, happy, healthy. I am fit, happy, healthy. You go through the sequence there. And if your mind, your spirit, whatever, saying, yeah, right, that's, I don't believe you, then you got to just start doing the work. What about this? Am I not believing? What is the limiting belief? What is the block preventing me from truly believing that I am a fit, happy, healthy person? And that's, you've got to do that mindset work. And every single person I've talked to on my own podcast who has dealt with weight issues or health issues for years, we're talking 100 plus pounds overweight and have struggled much, much more than I have, 30 plus years. It all came down to the mindset, these three factors, knowing the why, the vision, and then that key third piece is the mindset, having it aligned with that higher vision for you. And if you skip that part, the mindset part, you're going to have a very hard time sustaining the journey and keeping the weight off or just being fit, happy, healthy. You want to get to that autopilot stage. Very nice. You cannot skip those first three steps. And most people skip those first three steps and they ask, should I be doing keto or what exercises should I be doing for my core or to lose weight? And I say, I've been doing this so long now. I'm like, well, you're asking me the wrong questions. And I'm like, oh, what should I be asking? And I'm like, who are you? Who do you want to become? Why are you here? Oh, I want to lose 20 pounds to have more energy to play with my grandkids. And I'm like, that's great, but that's about making it about them. We got to make this about you. What is it about you that brings you here? That we've got to get to that higher meaning and purpose. It's not about losing weight. It's not about having more energy to play with your grandkids. It's not about the beach body. It's not about any of that. It's about who are you and who do you want to become? And having the why for that and having the mindset to match that. Those three pieces, I can't stress enough, will lead you to the path of effortless effort where this lifestyle, where it becomes a lifestyle and it's sustainable. And again, everyone I've talked to, especially the mindset piece, we all agree it's that mindset piece. You got to reprogram your mind with new beliefs and new stories.
And pay attention to the stories that might be holding you back. And yeah, the reprogramming part, I really like what you're saying there. Did you have any that you had to reprogram to even be that fit person, right?
Oh, yeah. When I first started, this was in, again, it's been a journey for me. So it was in 2014. I took out, like I said, I took out my spiral notebook, I don't know, 100 pages or whatever. And I filled 17 pages front to back with every belief I had about money, relationships, health, everything. One of them that really held me back that was keeping weight on was this belief that I'm not worthy. I really had to work through that one. Another one, belief that I had to work through was I'm not enough. And today those beliefs are long gone. But another one was I'm a peon. Yeah, I think I read it in your bio, Jane, you mentioned about, you know, we get programmed very early in our childhood, our adolescence, about certain things, and we grow up believing these. So I grew up believing I was a peon my entire life, that I wasn't worthy, which led to my very low self-worth, very low self-esteem, which then led to me being a couch potato and all that. So that was the most powerful belief in the very beginning that I had to overcome, was that I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, and that I'm a peon. And then I had to replace those with, the truth is, I am enough, I am worthy, and I'm not a peon. I'm an outstanding citizen of my community, human being, blah, 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 that is now learning to be fit, happy, and healthy. But it's been a journey, though, that's for sure. Because like I said, at one point, I got very fit, but was not happy or healthy at all.
Yeah. So Brad, I haven't used the word peon very often. You must have had someone call you that when you were quite young.
I did. Someone very influential in my life, and he called me that pretty regularly, times a week for many years. And I thought that was the truth. I thought I was a peon. I believed him.
What is a peon?
A person who's not very worthy, a person who's not very good at anything, a person who doesn't deserve anything in life, a person who doesn't know anything about anything, just a worthless, no good, unworthy, unlovable person.
So he would say things like, you're nothing but a peon.
Yeah.
You'll never go anywhere or that kind of thing.
He would say frequently, you're just a peon. You're nothing but a peon.
Right.
And he used to say, that was one of the more polite things he would say. He said some other stuff too, but yeah.
But once you realize that he really has no power over you, then you can start to break free of it. But it does take reinforcement, doesn't it?
That's when my life changed. That was the first turning point that allowed me to be sustainable with being fit, happy, and healthy, when I realized that he had been lying to me all those years, that I, in fact, was not a peon. And it was just through journaling. That one just came to me. I remember staring at the calendar one day. I wasn't even journaling at the time, and realized that, oh my God, that's actually not true. I'm actually not a peon. And then you have to replace it immediately with what is true. And so that's a common question you ask when you're working on your belief system and your stories and reprogramming your mind, is what is true? What is the truth here? That's when I realized that I'm an outstanding, well-educated young man that's done a lot of good things in his life and the world already. This was, 10, 12 years ago. And that's when everything really started to change. But over the years, yeah, there's been a lot more beliefs that I've had to work on and outgrow and replace. And yeah, I had to, like I said, at one point I was very fit. I was doing triathlons, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, Spartan races. But the fitter I got, the less happy I became and the less healthy I became. Being fit does not mean being healthy at all, especially spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of that stuff. So
sometimes we'll go after something almost to the point of ignoring the healthy and the happy part, right? Like we find out, oh, we have control over this. So we become very focused on it. And it's not till, like you say, time down the road that you realize, oh, that was not the total
answer. There's two motivating factors that drives every human on this planet. One is fear and the other is love. Mm-hmm. You're either doing something out of fear or out of love. So if you're doing out of fear, you've got that limiting belief that I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, more than likely. And it's buried deep in your subconscious. And so you do all these things out of fear. And so that's what I was doing. I was doing all these Spartan races and marathons and all these things. And from the outside, it looked great. People were praising me and I was getting all kinds of high fives and my ego was just like off the chart. It was just crazy. And I go to work. It's like, how many miles did you do over the weekend, Brad? Or how much did you, just the attention I was getting was just, it was crazy. But looking back at that point in my life, I just finally understood this only about 2-3 years ago, that I did all of those races, everything out of fear, because I thought if I didn't do them, that I wouldn't be worthy and that I wouldn't have the respect of my colleagues or anything like that. And I had to work through that and turned out that wasn't true at all. That even if I didn't do those things, I'm still enough as a human, just me being Brad, who I am, and that I'm still worthy of love and respect and all that, whether I do all those things or not. So now I still do a lot of those things. I'm older now, so I don't do them as much, but now I do them out of love. My motivation is love, not fear for doing those, because I know even if I don't do those, I am worthy and I am enough. So the next part of this journey, so we talked about knowing your why, having that higher meaning and purpose, what you focus on, you become, having the mindset. And then the next part is to that mindset is, what is your driving force? Is it fear or is it love? And 9 out of 10 times, unless you've really done this work, it's going to be fear. Fear, and it's deeply rooted in that I'm not enough, I'm not worthy mentality. And so we've got to break through that. And this applies to any area of your life. So you want to healthy relationship, just overall general health, finances, career, passions, whatever it is, you've got to look at, am I doing this out of fear or out of love? And so that was the next key. And once I finally understood that, it was only about 3, maybe 4 years ago that I started to get healthy. Finally, I understand what the motivating factor is. And now I'm doing this for the right reasons, not out of fear, but out of love. And that's when I started to become healthy. And that's when I started to become, and you can't see me now, I'm smiling, but that's when I started to become happy too.
Because the underlying push for so many of us can be also that feeling of unworthy. So if I prove myself in all these other ways, it can be a job, it could be fitness, it could be a relationship, right? If I prove myself here, then I'll be worthy. But it's empty.
It is empty, yeah. And that's how it was for me for a long time until I started to understand better who I was. And you mentioned, Jane, your audience is the midlife crisis, mostly women, but also men. the surest way to begin breaking free of that is those four questions right there. Who am I? Where am I? What do I want? And where am I going? And why do I want what I want? Those four questions, if you really take time to answer those, not from a place of logic or common sense in your head, but from a place of love in your heart. Fear operates in our head and from logic, common sense, and ego, but love operates in our heart. That's how you begin to break free of any midlife crisis. I know because I've been going through this stuff myself personally the last year to 2 years. Fear and anxiety have still ruled to some degree. And I realized, oh, because I'm still not clearly understanding who I am, what I want, where I'm going, and why do I want what I want. So those are the four life-changing questions that when answered will break you free of any midlife situation, anything.
Yeah. And when you talk about love, it's about self-love, really, isn't it?
Yes, it starts with self-love. Yeah, absolutely. You have a hard time genuinely loving another person until you first love yourself. And the way you begin to love yourself is work through that I am worthy, I am enough belief. And once you realize those two things right there, everything else becomes a little bit easier and starts to fall into place. But radical self-love leads to radical transformation in your life. So yeah, I can look myself in the mirror and say, I love you to myself, my inner child, all very easy now, but it took a lot of work to get there. So you've got to work harder. That's exactly what Jim Rohn said. You've got to work harder on yourself, your consciousness, your being, than any training session, than any career you've had, any of that. That's the key to sustainable peace, joy, happiness. I ask people, what do they want? I'm like, oh, I want more peace. And this is how you get more peace. You don't get peace from doing something. You get peace from doing, well, I will say this, you get peace from doing the work on yourself, not from doing gardening or going to church or something like that, because that's just like taking a drug. It's a peace drug. It'll last for 5 or 10 minutes as long as you're in that environment. But what happens when you're not? Can you still be peace? That's why I said not just some of the time, but all of the time. The way you get peace some of the time is, yeah, go to the mountains or go to church or have a party with your friends. That definitely works. But as soon as you're removed from that environment, the fears and everything start to creep in again. So you've got to do the inner work on yourself, those four questions with your journal and getting to the point where you truly believe in your heart that you are worthy, that you are loved, that you are lovable, that you can give and receive love, all of that. And when you get to that place, your life becomes just, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. Your life becomes very calm and serene and you have that true inner peace.
And it comes from too not really caring what other people think. Like the fear factor is way down the totem pole, right?
When you know truly who you are in your heart, when you can truly answer that question, who am I? And yeah, part of that is, oh, I'm a mom or I'm a dad or I'm a husband or a wife or a spouse or I'm a brother or sister, or I'm a teacher, I'm a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. That's part of it. But when you understand truly who you are at your root cause, not like shoots sticking above the ground, but at your root, when you understand that, then yeah, it doesn't matter what other people think or other people say. That's where you say bounces off me, sticks to you. If I had understood this when I was 4 years old, that when I was being called a peon, that would have affected me like my whole life like it did. But now someone calls me a peon, I'm like, that's not who I am. That's oftentimes now what I understand. When somebody calls someone else a name, like that's a reflection on how they see themselves. So when I see anyone talking, I don't know, rude or mean or putting down another person, like on some social media posts or something, that's really a reflection of them and how they see themselves. Like they're talking to a mirror or something. And I just do my best to send prayers and love for that person now, knowing because I was in that trap for a long time too.
Yeah. To internalize it, but it's really empowering to realize that it's really them talking about themselves, that you don't have to take that, what they're saying internally at all.
And the person that needs to talk to you the kindest, the most respectful, and the most loved is yourself.
Yeah.
So self-love, yeah, radical self-love is learning to love yourself the same way you would your child, learning to love yourself the same way you would your pet. Talking to yourself and treating yourself the same way you would treat and talk to your child or to your pet or to your best friend. And that was a little, I got that from another coach in one of my interviews. And when I started to practice that, I was like, holy cow, treating myself kind enough, compassionate enough, or respectful enough. And when you have that, when you're not treating yourself with enough love, kindness, respect, appreciation for who you are and everything you've done and been through, it's hard to have that radical self-love, that complete self-love. But when you start talking to yourself the same way you would your best friend, treating yourself the same way you would your best friend and your dog, loving yourself the same way you would love your child, if you're a parent, or love a family member or something like that. Everybody's got at least one person they truly love, I think. Even if it's the higher power or whatever, there's always something. When you love yourself like that, that's when you're truly set free and you can have that self-love and that inner peace that it doesn't matter what the... Then when you go to the mountains or the beach or whatever, that's like cherry on top. That's like the bonus now.
Yes, because that feeling should be there in the most mundane moments. You know what? I loved how you talked about the first epiphany that came and you said it was from a higher power. You asked for the answer. You asked a question and then you received an answer. And I think that's super important in progression.
I still do that to this day. Ask and you shall receive. So I ask a question to my higher power with my journal, and I've been doing this for so long now. Usually the answer comes to me within just a few minutes. Sometimes it's a day or two or maybe 3 days at the most. But every time I've asked a question, I get an answer like, okay, if I could say God right now, I'll say, God, what's going on with this situation? And I'll just start journaling on it. And boom, 5 minutes later, I've got the answer. And every single time, every stress in my life, every struggle in my life, everything has come down to something going on within me, a limiting belief, a block that is preventing me from being my true authentic self, from being the best version of me every single time. So I tell everybody now, if you want to fix your financial situation in your life, fix yourself first. If you want to fix your career situation in your life, fix yourself first. If you want to fix your relationship situation with either a family member or a spouse or a partner or something like that, fix yourself first. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, but I realize now everything starts with me. This is when you really get to accepting and taking full responsibility for your life. And this is a big, freaky, scary step for a lot of people because they've never truly owned their life and taken responsibility for every decision, everything that's going on in your life. But I so believe this now, and I'm so passionate about this. Anything you've got going on in your life, fix yourself first. Always start with yourself, fix yourself first. And it's very possible. It's very easy to fix yourself first. I don't want to get too much into therapy or anything because I'm not a therapist. I'm not a licensed clinical psychologist or any of that, but I'm my own best therapist now with just my journal and a few of these skills and techniques and tools that I've talked about here. I've just kind of touched base on them. I haven't gotten too depth into them, but once you learn some of these tools and skills and techniques that I do now, all you need is a pen and paper. So I spend $1.50 at the drugstore and a new notebook about every, I don't know, 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks. Yeah, makes me to fill up. So that's pretty good. And it's been the best self-therapy I've ever gotten. And I truly believe this can be, I don't care what you have, depression, suicide, PTSD. Give me a few minutes to work with you and show you some of these skills. And I'll send you home a different person with your journal and things like that. So
I love it because we're all individuals and the answers will come to each individual differently. But the answers are inside us. Right? Yeah. They're not a therapist, not a doctor. We have the answers. And that's why I called the podcast Empowered.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Everything is internal. And most people don't understand that. They're trying to solve their problems externally. They think if they go to the mountains, they'll be helpful. And I'm like, yeah, that's a peace drug. Take a 2 week vacation. That's a peace drug. It'll last 2 weeks. As soon as you come back, then you've lost all of that. Yeah. So the external environment shouldn't matter. It's the internal environment. That's why people who have really done this work, the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh or the Dalai Lama, who have really done the internal work, they're at peace no matter what, where they are, or what's going on around them. And now that presence says they're great teachers of the world now. But they understood that it's all about doing their inner work. Again, it's been a journey for me. I thought everything was external for many years. This has been one piece at a time, one piece of the puzzle at a time, one step at a time over the years.
Yeah. And often people say, I'm too stressed. I'm too busy. I have too much to do. to do the deep breathing, the listening, the asking, the journaling, what would you say to them?
Is your life worth 10 minutes a day? Do you have 10 minutes a day to devote to your life? I would say that. And then I would also ask, where are you when your health and well-being are a priority in your life? If your health and well-being is not one of the top three priorities in your life, then we need to really sit down and reevaluate your priorities.
Yeah.
If it's because you don't manage time, this is something I learned from another coach too. You do not manage time. I cannot stress that enough. You manage priorities. So if you say, I don't have time or I'm too stressed, blah, 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 that means your health and overall wellness is not a priority for you. You might say it is, but actions speak louder than words. You've got to commit to improving yourself and doing the inner work. You've got to commit to being a better version of you. And that goes back to the very first thing I said, that higher meaning and purpose. If I take care of my mind, body, and spirit, my mind, body, and spirit will take care of me. For the first several years, all I understood about that was the body. If I take care of my body, it will take care of me. That's where I got very fit. But then I had to learn to take care of my mind and spirit. Learn to do things from a place of love, not fear. Learn that I am worthy. Learn that I am enough. And now my mind and spirit take care of me by being. It's not always. I still get stressed. I still have some frustrations and things like that. But it's not nearly what it used to be a couple of years ago. I'm in a much more, divine place of peace more often than not in my life now.
And it's the long point. And also nothing matters but that point. I remember even thinking when I was 25, well, how long am I going to have to stay fit? This is a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. I was saying that, Jenny. I've been doing this for 14 years now. That's a long time to live the lifestyle, but it is what it is. Yeah.
But the answer is, if you want to be happy and healthy in old age, then it's every day. It's like that you have to nurture yourself every day.
That is a driving, I'll admit. So I still have some external whys, an external factor. One of them is, I want to be fit, happy, and healthy when I'm 70 and 80. I don't want to be going to the doctor's office. I don't want to be on 10 different prescription pills. I don't want to be using crutches, walkers, and wheelchairs. That's what I don't want. So again, focusing what I said, the second thing, focus on what you want out of life. Independent when I'm 80 years old, I want to still be eating healthy and still moving around when I'm 80. So the lifestyle I live, we never know for sure. You could get run over by a bus tomorrow. Or I've known fit, healthy people that have still have strokes and still have gotten cancer. So there's no guarantees in any of this. But I want to give myself the best possible chance and give my mind, body, spirit the best possible odds to be successful well into my 70s, 80s, and 90s.
And I think the focus on health rather than the fear focus about a certain disease is important in that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's focusing on what you want, which is health, not the disease. Everybody wants to be healthy. When you focus on losing weight, I can guarantee you're coming from a place of fear. That you're not good enough. Oh, I only love myself if I lose the 30 pounds. And that's actually not true. When you learn to love yourself, or you are loved, you are beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Then you lose weight from a place of love. It becomes a very different story. But you have to climb that hurdle. You have to do the work. And that's why 99% of the people on, I'll use the term weight loss journey, that's why they fail, because they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it from a place of fear, not love. And they haven't done this, the mindset work, the inner work to reprogram themselves and write new stories. And so that they can still have the same, the goal doesn't change. The reason you're doing it changes, and who you're being in the process changes. That was the key that has made my journey sustainable for so long.
Yeah, a beautiful, powerful message, Brad. Thank you so much. Anything that you would leave our listeners with? One final, maybe the lowest hanging fruit, how to start.
Know that you are worthy, know that you are enough, and know that you are love, and be love, and be a source of love for the world, and go from there. Start with that right there. Those three things. If you don't believe you're loved, you don't believe you're worthy, you don't believe you're enough, I don't care what exercise program you're going to do, you're going to fail in the long run. Either that or you're going to have to force yourself, which again, then that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down either. So know that you are worthy, know that you are loved, know that you are enough, and work on truly believing those from your heart and go from there.
Yes. And then it'll all align.
It will. It will.
So beautiful. Thank you, Brett. And how do people find more of what you're talking about and just more of you.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking, Jane. So go to my website, trainingwithcoachbrad.com. It's got links to all my social media handles, all my wellness programs, my podcast, everything as at trainingwithcoachbrad.com, all one word.
Thank you so much. It was a powerful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane, for having me. I really appreciate it.